Irish Illustrated Insider subscribers. This is Drew Mentak, and I'm here to bring you the eighth episode from our biweekly podcast series on the feed, Irish Illustrated Interviews. Today, we're sharing my conversation with linebacker Jalen Smith, a high school and collegiate Buckus Award winner, a two-time All-American at Notre Dame, and a 10-year NFL veteran. He played for the Fighting Irish from 2013 to 2015, leading Notre Dame in tackles and havoc plays in his final season as a junior, a campaign that ended with a trip to the Fiesta Bowl against Ohio State. Unfortunately, in the loss to the Buckeyes, Smith also suffered a devastating injury, tearing his ACL and LCL and enduring significant nerve damage in his knee. As a result, he fell from a projected top five pick to an early second round selection, with several teams unsure if he'd be able to play football ever again. Nevertheless, Smith persevered. After sitting out his rookie year with the Dallas Cowboys, he returned to the gridiron a season later and eventually became a Pro Bowler in the midst of a decade-long NFL career. Our conversation covers all that and goes all the way back to his prep career in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Plus, we dive into how he overcame his injury and how he's currently investing in the South Bend community. Here's my interview with Jalen. What's up, everybody? I'm here with Jalen Smith. He played at Notre Dame for three seasons, won the high school and collegiate Buckus Award, went on and played in the NFL for 10 years. You were a 2019 Pro Bowl player, 2020 top 100 NFL player. You're also a philanthropist, entrepreneur, and do a bunch of other things off the field. Thank you so much for being with me here today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Andrew. I'm super excited to be on the show. Let's do it.
So I start off by asking all my guests kind of how they first heard about Notre Dame, not even just maybe when they started recruiting you, but I know you didn't grow up too far away in Fort Wayne, Indiana, but what was your first like recollection of the university or football team?
So one of my uncles actually is a diehard Notre Dame fan. So that was really my first introduction. And then I actually went to a Catholic high school, a Bishop Lewis High School. And, you know, we was blessed to win four state championships in a row. I started as a freshman. And, you know, after my sophomore year, I began getting I started to get my first offers. And Notre Dame was my sixth offer. And when I got offered by Notre Dame, it was a total different vibe, a total different feeling. Like, the principal, Mary Kiefer at the time, she called me into the office to give me the phone so they could offer me a scholarship. You know, everybody around the school was like walking differently, and just I didn't know why. I didn't know why until I got to campus and I was like, okay, it makes sense. University of Notre Dame is for me.
Nice. And now you were, a top five prospect, a five-star. You're still in the modern recruiting area. You're the second highest rated prospect that's signed with Notre Dame. So at least the last 25 years or so. I'm sure you could have gone anywhere else. Once you got on campus, what did you see that made you I'm going to turn down all these other places. I'm not going to go to Ohio State with my brother. What made you kind of want to make that decision?
For me, it was about legacy. It was about the access. You know, I recognized that at a early time in growing up that, you know, relationships are everything, and the value of a relationship can really get you a long way, can teach you a lot of wisdom. And then from the opportunities, you know, there's a cliche thing of going to the University of Notre Dame is a 40-year decision, not a 4-year decision. And it's so true because Notre Dame is global. It's a global institute. You know, I studied abroad in South Africa one morning, jogging on the street, and I see someone with the Notre Dame hat on. You know, I've played in New York. I've played in all states throughout the United States and even in London, you know, and everyone knows Notre Dame. You know, it's like the Dallas Cowboys, it's Notre Dame, it's, you know, the New York Yankees, it's the Los Angeles Lakers. Those are like the pillars, you know, when you talk about like global organizations. So being able to be attached to Notre Dame was just a wonderful thing. And then one of my other introductions to Notre Dame, like all of us, is, you know, watching the movie Rudy.
I actually saw on your Twitter, you recently retweeted like highlights from the playoffs last year set to the Rudy soundtrack. So that makes sense now. And so you get to Notre Dame, you play right away as a freshman, have a pretty successful season. What was it like to kind of go to that next level? How do you feel like you kind of adapted to some of those things?
Well, you know, it hadn't been the first time that I started as a freshman. So I knew that, like, each level, going from middle school to high school, like, the speed of the game, the physicality, you know, are barriers that you got to overcome and kind of speed the process up of getting to the point to where you can add value. So me going to Notre Dame, you know, I knew I was going to have an opportunity to play right away. You know, but my biggest thing is like being a sponge and like soaking everything in. So getting a chance to learn from, you know, all the OGs that were there, you know, Kendall Moore and, you know, Danny Spond, you know, Carlos Calabrese, like all of these guys that like had been staples there, and they, you know, they're coming from playing with a dominant guy like Manti Te'o, you know, who passed me the torch. And I get on campus, Lewis Nix, rest in peace, he gives me my number, which number 9 is, you know, something I've wore my whole life. You know, he blesses me with my number, and it's like, okay, it's time. You know, instantly my first summer there, this was the first time that I had been eating 3-4 meals a day, you know, lifting weights every single day, challenging myself. Like, I hadn't really lift weights prior to, you know, college. And some of it I didn't know how to. Some of it was, you know, my dad's theory of trying to let my body grow. So first summer, I gained 20 pounds right away.
Oh, wow.
And Danny Spahn had a career-ending injury. He had to retire. So, boom, I was next up, and you know, I got in there and did my thing. So, I mean, I was just grateful to be able to learn, to be able to have guys like Prince Shembo, like Kavari Russell, who I had just watched him play as a freshman. You know, so all these different inspirations of like, okay, you can really do this and add value, you know, so. That was good.
Nice. And then over the next two seasons, you were, I think, a second team All-American as a sophomore and then a consensus All-American as a junior. You guys had a really good season, went to, BCS Bowl. What was that like to kind of then see, like, you take off, you also win the Buckus Award, as we referenced at the top of the show. What was it like to kind of then see your star rise and see you could do all those things that you knew you could do?
It felt good, but for me, I was always a guy that put in the work. I understood the notion of like talent is never enough, you know? And like the one thing Brian Kelly used to talk about, you know, he was head coach when I was there. He was just like, you know, don't rise to the occasion. You know, sink to the level of your preparation. And this is something that I have been doing since I was 7-8 years old, of like making sure that I prepare the right way. Like, I understood the value of practice. And that's where I was able to grow. And I worked, you know, each day I picked out two or three different things that I wanted to work on my game to help, you know, prepare myself for the next level, but for the next game. When I'm on the field, I'm always in a battle against myself. And that's how I've always viewed it. So, you know, I was able to accomplish a lot, but, you know, nothing can be done alone, you know? So I'm thankful for my support system, you know, for God instilling into me what, you know, all that I possess. For sure.
Then your college career, I know you've talked about this a lot, obviously didn't end quite the way you wanted to against Ohio State with the torn ACL, LCL, and then I know you experienced drop foot. But I'm kind of curious, what was it like in the wake of that to see that support for this university you had come to from all the fans, from the student body, and kind of have people rally around you after that happened?
I think it was a lot of sympathy for me because I showed that I was the hardest worker. I showed that, you know, it's a dominant player and that I love the university as well. You know, I really embody what a Notre Dame, a Golden Domer, you know, should want to aspire to become. And, you know, when I first got hurt, it was just like, why now? That's all I was thinking about. Like, it was just the timing was terrible. You know, in my thought process at the time, it wasn't okay for college players to sit out of bowl games prior to my injury. You know, I kind of view it as the Jalen Smith rules. It comes up every single year, you know. But for me to know that I was arguably going to be the number one overall pick to, you know, at minimal top five, to, you know, getting injured in a bowl game, and really, I thought I was going to be fine as well because Ty Gurley had just got hurt the previous year and still went first round. So I'm like, okay, if it's an ACL, I'm going to be okay. I know the work that I put in. I know how resilient I am. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be good. But when we got, you know, at the Fiesta Bowl in Arizona, when we got to the in the back after I got on the wheel carted off, the doctors came in and one of the doctors started crying, dropped a tear, and I'm like, Dr. Radigan.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, what? Like, what's up? Like, what's going on? He like, and the next thing you know, they like, man, you may never play the game again, you know, because of this nerve damage. And the way nerves work, they grow back a millimeter a day. But in reality, it's on God's timing on whether that nerve regenerates. And my nerve, it wasn't completely severed, but it was severed. And no one has ever come back from that and played successfully at a high level. So I had a lot of motivation. You know, my mantra, clear eye view, you know, which is broken down into three pillars: a focused vision, determined belief, and earned dreams. You know, a focused vision is all about having a laser beam focus, being able to accomplish what you want to. In the end, a determined belief is a self-belief, belief in God, understanding he's got your back, you know, understanding that there's people that do believe in you and proving them right. And then earned dreams is all about, like, how bad do you want it? What work are you willing to put in to accomplish those goals? So these are my clear eye view. I established that as my core values a year prior to me getting injured, you know, prior to my junior season. So I had already knew the realms of my purpose beyond athletics. And I just knew that being injured was a threat. You know, you do a SWOT analysis: strengths. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What are your opportunities? What are your threats? One of my threats I knew was getting injured. But I was able to put on display my resiliency through that and be an ear to a lot of people. So I'm grateful. I don't regret. If I had to go back and play again and choose if I was going to play or sit out, I would have still played in that game because, for one, I'm a Notre Dame captain as a junior from the state of Indiana. You know, I bleed blue and gold, and I'd never been hurt before. And then, there were 13 projected first round picks in that game.
Oh wow! Yeah,
you know, and the number one running back, Ezekiel Elliott, versus the number one linebacker, Jalen Smith. then that was, and my brother played at Ohio State, so you know, it was a lot built up to where the greatest competitors they gonna play in that game. So, and that's what it came down to. You know, we're all dealt with our own journey, and it is written. It really is.
I know you have to get going a little bit, so I have two more questions for you.
Yes.
How important do you think that resilience is, not only to you coming back and becoming a Pro Bowler and accomplishing what you did and have in the league, but also just, I mean, watch the interview with Jason Garrett, who's now, you know, around nerding football quite a bit, but convincing him that, like, hey, I'm going to come back from this, seemed like he saw that in you where maybe some other coaches didn't, and obviously that paid off for him.
And I love Jason Garrett. Love everything that he's about, him and his family. And for me, you know, my experience in Dallas, you know, Jason, he told me that, you know, he experienced a similar situation. Wasn't drop foot related, but it was career threatening a situation with Drew Brees when he had an injury and he was in Miami, or he was, you know, prior to him going to the Saints, he had a big injury that people questioned whether he would come back from. And Jason Garrett was a part of that process. And so he remembered of like, man, this is possible. This is possible. And, you know, Jerry Jones is a big believer in second chances, a big believer in, you know, guys that are resilient. So he took a chance on me. And my whole thing was like, you know, I've been playing the game since I was 7 years old. I've been knowing that I was going to make it to the league since I was 9 years old. The moment I get drafted, I can't play the game because of my injury. So just making it wasn't enough. I wanted to be able to play at the next level and, you know, achieve great things at the next level and attempt to win a Super Bowl at the next level. You know, with the injury I had, I knew I wasn't going to be able to come back 100%. But I did know that a 75-85% Jalen Smith is still better than a lot of people. No ego, just understanding what God anointed me with. So me being able to come back and, you know, be a captain for the Cowboys and, you know, have a Pro Bowl season and, you know, multiple time, top 100 player, big contract. You know, I just owe it a testament to the people that believe in me, to God. And then, you know, just for the opportunity to persevere. You know, I know that I've always known my purpose beyond athletics was greater and deeper. Hence my early entrepreneurial spirits and philanthropy endeavors, but you know, I just know that I've always wanted to leave my mark, and the things that I care about, I go deep. So, and I'm proud to be a Golden Domer for sure, for life.
Speaking of leaving your mark, you obviously also have been doing that off the field. I know you started kind of right away becoming an entrepreneur, investing in things. You also started the Minority Entrepreneurship Institute. So you've been giving back and finding ways to also invest in communities that you've lived in or been associated in. And more recently, you opened Jinya Ramen, or I don't know if that's a full name, but it's a ramen shop. And I'm sure
Jinya Ramen Bar. Yep.
Jinya Ramen Bar. Okay, perfect. And can you talk a little bit about bringing that to South Bend and maybe some other things you do and why you wanted to invest in the South Bend community as well?
Yes. So Jinya Ramen Bar is a Japanese ramen cuisine. We have currently 80 locations throughout the United States. And I'm building out Indiana. And I wanted to start home at Notre Dame. And that was my vision, bringing it back to, you know, when I was a player there. And after a Notre Dame victory, you know, there's this one street called Eddy Street, which is directly across from campus, adjacent. You can walk right on the campus from this street. And you know, it's like the one street in the college towns where, you know, you go to get food or, you know, you go to a bar and get some drinks and you know, you're able to have a good time. Or there are study tables, you know, you're going to Eddy Street to get some lunch in between, you know, studying for finals. So after we would win, you know, you're on campus, you're hungry, you want to go get some food. The only thing that's open is Five Guys and Brothers. Well, Brothers is a bar. I wasn't 21 at the time, so can't drink, can't go in there. So I'm eating at Five Guys. I'm like, you know what? One day I am going to bring a restaurant to Eddy Street, back to Notre Dame. I'm going to do that. Now, how I wanted to become a restaurateur was, so after we won state my senior year in high school, I opted to not play basketball. Instead, I got a job at Burger King.
Oh wow!
So this is pre NIL. So I know that I'm not going to be able to work in college. You know, I wanted to take an opportunity to learn how to serve people, to practice putting smiles on people's faces, to really get in an environment of serving, and to, you know, I don't have any money growing up, so I'm, you know, getting a chance to make my own earned dollar. So with that experience of in working at Burger King, you know, I started to, one day I typed in on Google, like the top successful athlete entrepreneurs. And Junior Bridgman came up, rest in peace, who died earlier this year. But Junior Bridgman was a basketball player back in the 80s and wasn't making what NBA players make today. But he spent his off seasons like learning how to become a restaurateur. And you know, he was able to build a portfolio of over a couple hundred Wendy's and Chili's. And prior to him dying, you know, he had a net worth of north of $700 million.
Wow.
So this was, and I'm 17 at the time when I'm learning about this guy. And it was like super inspirational. He was like my Michael Jordan, like my LeBron James. Cause it's like, okay, he was legit and he was able to have an extreme amount of success playing basketball, but then he wanted more. Like he knew that his path wasn't just to become an athlete. And my whole thing is, you know, how can I help model like group economics and help create generational wealth? You think about the Henry Fords and the Rockefellers, where it's past generational generation. And me agreeing, accepting that responsibility to be the guy in my family to catapult that are all reasons of what led me to just kind of seek more, you know, out of life than just being an athlete. So I'm grateful. I really enjoy being a serial entrepreneur. There's so many trials and tribulations that you learn through the art of whichever sector that you're in, you know, in the business world. But I love it. I'm a sponge. I'm always trying to learn. For me, it's about living out my purpose in life, my purpose beyond athletics. I've been able to inspire a lot of people, but I know that I'm doing God's work, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity and the platform. And Notre Dame was a huge and is a huge part of, you know, my platform. So I love the community. Looking forward to a victory this weekend versus our rival, USC. Yeah, but no, it's a pleasure for you to have me on, Andrew. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person, man. You gonna be up in South Bend?
Yeah, I live in South Bend, so we'll definitely have to make that happen.
Well, I'll come by Genya Ramen Bar.
Okay, definitely.
Please come by.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please come by.
All right, yeah.
Please come by. You'll love it. You'll love it. for sure.
Yeah, no, I've definitely been meaning to check it out. I'm a big ramen fan, so I've heard good things as well, I will say. So not just saying
and that. Yes. No, appreciate that. No, I'm looking forward to having you, man.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I know you have to get running, but I really appreciate your time and sharing a little bit about your story today.
Man, appreciate you, man. Be safe. I'll talk to you.
All right, you too. And everyone listening, we'll be back again in 2 weeks. Bye.